morning, my dear brothers and sisters. Yeah. Excuse me, I have to struggle to speak in English in the pulpit. Yeah. There's some words in my sharing I have to practice about 30 times. I hope they come out right today. Well, first and foremost, I want to express my deepest gratitude for your support of Restore Mission. Your help has been immensely impactful in the lives of many Chinese restaurant workers in Australia. It's my honor to be here to share with you what we do and how you can continue to support this form of ministry. I started serving in Restaurant Mission in 1994. Most of you should already know what we do. I've been sharing in this church maybe every couple of years. And since CABC is one of my main supporters from the very beginning. To make it simple, maybe some of you are new here, I tell you what we do. We are a Christian organization which aims to serve the Chinese restaurant workers in Australia. Our ultimate goal is to lead the restaurant workers to Christ. Before I continue, I would like to take a moment to reflect on the past 3 years and how we have persevered through the challenges of the COVID pandemic. Despite the hardship we faced, we are proud to say that we are coming back stronger, bigger, and better than ever before. Let me show you some pictures. This is a normal Tuesday evening service before the COVID hit us in 2020. We had about 20 to 28 people attend our service. You may think, why you have a service on a Tuesday evening, a worship service? Well, as you know that most Chinese restaurant workers, they do not have a Sunday off. It's the busiest time. They are preparing for their lunch now, right? And you look at this one. This is our normal Tuesday evening worship now. An average number of participants is around 46. We are so grateful that Central Baptist Church allows us to use the fellowship hall. Otherwise, we would be overcrowded if we remain in the old premises. And this is our Bible study after the worship service. I would say 85% of our members coming to the Tuesday gathering would join the Bible study either the one or the one before or the one after the worship. And occasionally, the attending number is so big that we have to put extra seats at the back. In May last year, we had 5 brothers and sisters being baptized, and we anticipate at least another 5 to be baptized in the later half of this year. What made our ministry recover and flourish so quickly? Well, do you know what that is? It's a mooncake and 2 oranges and a note, right? And next to it is the phone. Well, that's all we started off to recover the ministry. During the worst of time, I remember it was September 2021 when there was a lockdown. Do you remember that? We cannot go to work. We are not allowed to have a gathering of more than 5 people. And it happened in the worst of time. It was the September. What was the festival? It's the Moon Festival, right? And it's very important for people of Chinese culture. And it's particularly miserable when you cannot meet up with your friends and you cannot celebrate with your family who is not living with you. And you feel extra lonely. And to meet with the need, we did a very heartfelt move, which was sending each of our members a mooncake and 2 very expensive easy peel oranges. They cost about $1.50 each. And a comforting note from our pastor, with the help of a brother who worked as a delivery driver. And we did a lot of personal care during that time to each of our members. We regularly call them to see how they're going during the lockdown. Thanks God that we did that, because we found that one brother who was deeply depressed and a few who were very scared because they got the wrong information from the fake news coming from overseas. The COVID pandemic, people see it as a ministry record, right? We rather see it as opportunities to build rapport amongst our colleagues and amongst our members. We are now coming back from COVID with a very strong team. We are also so grateful during the past 3 years that all the help CABC has provided us. There are brothers and sisters helping us with computer, with website design, and helping us to apply for the free software from Microsoft. Because we are a non-profit organization, brothers and sisters helping us with taxation, accounting, and many, many more. And we are particularly grateful for the amazing women from CABC who have dedicated their time and energy to help us. Among them, my wife here today, Ada. Ada has been here since 1991, right? And she has to leave her role in the children ministry at CABC after over 20 years of service. Now she's working alongside with me in Restaurant Mission, because my work is so heavy and I can't live without her now. And also Sister Ping, we call them Ping Jie, you must recognize her, right? The one on the second on the right, I don't know left or right. Yeah, second from the left, sorry. Yeah, she called Ping Jie, right? Who's now an invaluable member. She's in the 3 p.m. congregation. She's now an invaluable member of our team. She has gone above and beyond with her tireless efforts in caring of our members and promoting the Read the Bible Everyday plan. And Ping Jie, she managed to motivate almost the whole congregation, the about 43 out of 46 of our congregation. She motivated them into reading the Bible every day. Isn't she amazing? This year, we also have a new pastor joining our pastoral team. Her name is Sally. Sally, who previously worked in a renowned church in Hong Kong, she specialized in children ministry. Isn't it ironic that we have two very experienced children workers, Auntie Ada and Sally, and we don't even have one kid in our congregation? Sally, she also has a vast experience missioning in mainland China. With these experiences, you may wonder why she chose to serve in a small organization like us. In one of her sharings, she said this: Restaurant Mission is a place full of love. The love deeply attracts me. Thanks to God's guidance, I'm able to serve in this loving place. Last year, in our AGM, we set out to do outreach activity once every two months. And we carry them out as planned. These events were so well received that we have no problem getting people to come and join the activities. Rather, we have to turn away those who are not employed in the restaurant industry due to our limited resources. Let me share with you how I came to know Christ. In 1987, when a group of Christians were called to outreach to restaurant workers in Sydney, I was the first one they approached. However, it was also the impression of the Christians who came to dine in my restaurant that make an impact on me in converting to Jesus. Among them were a medical doctor, Dr. Chen, a very common name for doctor, and his wife. The Chen's family were my regular customers while I was working in a restaurant in Stratfield called the Wang Fu Restaurant. I don't know if any of you is old enough to remember that restaurant. Dr. Chen and his wife are always very gentle and approachable. They are the perfect example of what decent people should be like, and I learned a lot from them. I ended up going to their church, but only went there for a short while. I didn't continue because I started work at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And the only session I could go was the 8:30 a.m. English session. Mind you, on a Saturday night, I finished work at 12 a.m. And by the time I go to bed, it would be 1:30 or 2 a.m. in the morning. If I want to go to church the next morning, I only get about 5 hours of sleep. I'm telling you this because I want you to know that Dr. Chen and his wife has treated me as a neighbor while I was a restaurant worker. They are one of the reasons I came to know Christ. We have read the parable of the Good Samaritan many, many times, especially if you grow up here or you grow up in a church environment. You must have heard of this story at least 10 times throughout your Sunday school. Oh, these are our activities. All right. I don't think that I have to repeat this parable or repeat this story. However, most people got the message of the Good Samaritan story is to do good, right? It's to teach us to do good, right? Or to help others who are in need. I still remember, not long ago, the clothing bins in many car parks outside the shopping center, they have the Samaritan written on them. But I do not see them anymore. Maybe it's because of the political correctness. I don't know. But anyway, it's the Samaritan written on the bin telling you to do good, you know, give your old clothing to the people in need. Give to the people in need. That's what it means. Well, the Jews in those days, they know damn well that they had to do good deeds, right? And we all know that we have to do good. By telling this parable, does Jesus simply want to reinforce us the importance of doing good? Or is there a more profound meaning than doing good? This parable is also about pride and prejudice. We have to bear in mind that Jesus was dealing with the two questions that the teacher of the law asked. These are, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the second one is, who is my neighbor? To the first one, Jesus made the teacher of the law answer his own question, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Can you do that? I don't think that anyone in the whole wide world would be able to perfectly fulfill this commandment. Jesus went to the extent to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan was to give the teacher of the law a perfect example of love your neighbor as yourself. The Samaritan in the parable actually did to his antagonist as he would do to himself if he fell victim to the robbers. Jesus himself as well set an example of the Good Samaritan by dying on the cross for our sins. Since we fall short of God's requirement, which is perfectly obey his law, when we fail to do so, we would be separated from God and destined to die. Jesus unreservedly came to the rescue. He got on the cross for our sins and made us perfect, so we can now have a relationship with God and call him our Father and have eternal life. The teacher of the law didn't quite like it when Jesus turned his answer around and focused on him. Because Jesus said, yeah, you answer correctly. Do this and you will live. This means that if you obey the law perfectly, like the Samaritan, then you will live, you will have eternal life. Remember the teacher of the law? He came to challenge Jesus rather than humbly seeking answers. He did not win the contest in round one. Therefore, in round two, he continued in attack mode and shifted the focus to another question. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? This is a good question that we have to ask ourselves. Does it refer to the people living next to you? I live in number three in my street. Does it mean that it's my neighbor is the number one or number five, the one right next to you? Or the people living in the same apartment or the people living in the same suburb? People who are alike in culture, in education and income tend to stick together and will eventually form a neighborhood and become each other's neighbor. The Jews in those days clustered it with their own and they looked down at others, like the Samaritan. Because the Samaritan, they are semi-pagan, since they were made up partly the 10 tribes of the Israel and partly the people who has settled in Palestine from Assyria. Who then are my neighbors? Who is your neighbor? Our neighbors, mainly our fellow Christians? Yes. Why not? What's wrong with that? Should we God's people stick together and be segregated from the secular world? Shouldn't we stay clean from the immoral and unethical people? Look around ourselves. Look at all my friends. What are they? Are they Christians? Or non-Christians? It's very sad to see many Christians are so contented and comfortably clustered within their little Christian community. According to the census 2021, the most recent one, Australians who identified themselves as Christians dropped it by 17.2% in the last 10 years. 17.2% in the last 10 years. Our Christian community is shrinking in an alarming rate. Yet, we recited Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go and make disciples, go and make disciples, time after time. I applaud CABC actually doing something about it. We did a lot of outreach. I saw the bulletin, right? We are going to visit the nursing home and we do a lot of outreach in the street. We started a Mandarin ministry a few years ago and we support many missionaries. And that's a very great thing that we do. I saw in the bulletin today about the Cantonese congregation. Right, we have our cell group has already received this recommendation that either to split or to reshuffle, split your cell group or to reshuffle with other cells so we can receive more newcomers. What a terrific idea. This is what it means to go. To go to is to go outside your circle or invite people into your circle. Go and make disciples. On the other hand, a lot of us think of mission as going somewhere remote into an alien environment, right? Like far northern Thailand, or go to the Congo in Africa, or deep into the jungle of the Amazon. My dear brothers and sisters, do we see the glamour of missioning only far away from home? Before COVID hit us, I took holiday in Hong Kong quite often because I was born there. And I love the wonton mee, the noodle soup, the best in the world. While I was there, Because I grew up in the Central District, so whenever I go there, I always walk around the Central District. You know? While I was there, one thing really bewildered me. On a fine Sunday, we usually saw thousands and thousands of those Southeast Asian domestic helpers gathered in the open areas in the Central District. Not once. I go there quite often because I enjoy seeing their culture, seeing what they eat and how they dance. They are so talented, you know, with their singing and their dancing. But not once I see a church-run gospel activity among them. I'm confident to say that 60% of the Christians in Hong Kong, they have a domestic helper doing their cooking, looking after their children, and doing their tedious housework 6 days a week. What a great gospel opportunity if some Christian on Sunday can give them a snack or give them a 15 minutes massage on their day of rest just to say thank you. Yet, some of the local churches, they make big effort sending their short-term mission teams all the way to far north Thailand, all the way to Philippines, all the way to Cambodia. Come on. These people are right in front of our sight. They are with you almost every day. Please don't misunderstand me that I'm opposing you going on an overseas mission trip. My point is, have we neglected the people so close to us? In a lot of Asian countries, preaching on the pulpit about witnessing Christ to your domestic helper or the underdog foreigners living in their countries is a taboo because the congregation may find that offensive. It's not something that they are willing to do. Don't they deserve to hear the gospel? Or some of us may think that we are too important to tell these potatoes about God. I tell you what, the hypocrisy in the parable of the Good Samaritan still very much exists today. Now take a closer look at ourselves. Who are the people we neglected around us? Restaurant workers are one of them. After this worship service, we might go across the road to Central Park Chinese restaurant or go to White's Kitchen further down. Have a great time with our brothers and sisters. Or we might go for a sumptuous yum cha lunch, right? How often do we pay attention to the dim sim lady? Those ladies that push the dim sim trolley around? Or the humble waiter serving us? Yes, a lot of churchgoers might not think much of the Chinese restaurant workers, just like the Jews despised the Samaritan. Unlike those waiting staff working in the French eateries, Chinese restaurant workers, most of them are lack of manners. They speak with a very loud voice, and they are gossipy. We are indifferent to them because they don't belong to the mainstream Aussie culture. Because they are unrefined, or simply they are so unlike us. We have so many indifferences. We don't know how and not at all interested in leading them to Christ. Yet, each one of them is cherished by our Lord Jesus Christ. Mind you, while Jesus was on earth, most of his time was spent with the underdogs. According to this parable, our neighbor is the one who shows mercy to the one in need. Disregard the indifferences you might feel towards those working in Chinese restaurants. They are the one in need, especially the salvation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants you to be their neighbor. Okay, what can I do to be a neighbor of restaurant workers. CABC has been praying and financially supporting me serving in restaurant mission, which is great. But one thing that's just as important as prayer and financial support is being a witness at a restaurant you go to. There's some of the things we have neglected when we go to a restaurant. You can partner with us in leading restaurant workers to Christ by doing this in the restaurants. I've shared this already. I think in May 2021, when I was in the mission sharing and the Sai Hall. Well, firstly, always say thank you. Say thank you when the waiter took your or the waitress took your order. Say thank you. Say thank you when they put down the dishes, or when they clean up your table. Say thank you. This is not much to ask. This is the basic manner. We do this every day, right? Why don't we say thank you to the waiter serving you? Secondly, smile and make eye contact. I know some dim sum ladies, they're very annoying. When you are in the middle of a conversation with your friends, you know, they bluntly cut in with their tray of food. Ah, very nice. They only have a few of cavalry. Very nice, good, and fresh. No, not even fresh, you know. Very good ha gao. You know, prawn dumpling, very good dumpling. Want some? Want some? You know, you feel annoying, you know. Most of the people, what they do, they just ignore them and turn their back on them or give them a hand gesture. Can we look at them? Look at them in their eyes, give them some eye contact, give them a smile. Simple thing, just say, no, thank you. Look, they are not your Hey Google or your Alexa at home. They are people like you and me. They have feelings as well. Thirdly, get to know them by their names and try to remember them. Instead of calling them, hey, waiter, ask them their names or read their name tags. Call them by their names. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I develop a habit of writing down the waiting staff's name and some of their features to help me to remember them. Like like a very popular restaurant in Chinatown, I've written down many names, at least 20 of their names. There's a very big restaurant. I put down their features, like a tiny dim sum lady, Amy, so tiny dim sum lady. The waitress with a Omega hairstyle and wear glasses. You know what's the Omega hairstyle? It's like this, the hairstyle. Omega, you know the Omega sign? Her name is Ling, all right, okay. And that's how I remember their names, right? Middle-aged fat waiter, Simon, right? There was once this very big waiter. He's about, I would say he's about 150 kilos, which is so big. He's not as tall as me, but my ear height, big, huge, right? I asked him, what's your name? He said, oh, just call me Fat Boy. I said, I can't call you Fat Boy. What is the name? He said, everyone call me Fat Boy here. I insist that I call him his name. And I asked him his name again. He said, oh, my name is Panda. Panda, the panda, look like a panda. So now every time I see him, I call him, hey, Panda, how are you? Panda. And you see the grin on his face. So different when you call people by their name. You know, you use these three things. It can be so easy to get along with the restaurant workers. You know, I did this even in Malaysia, in Singapore, while I was there. You know, last March, I went there for holiday. They even let me go into the kitchen to muck around with their cooking utensils. This is in Malaysia. You know, simple. Well, this is Auntie Ada with a waitress in the Singapore airport in a restaurant, you know. Just by doing three things. You know, they you know the Singapore airport is one of the busiest airport in the world, right? And they have the people there, they met so many people. So many people go to the restaurant there to eat there, right? And the waitress, she's very interested in us, you know, because we show the manners. Not many people showing their manners. And she started the conversation. She asked us where we come from, and she started it. It's easy. It's a sure win. The fourth one is try to thank the waiting person again when you leave. Go to the waiter when you leave. After you pay your bill, go there. Personally thank him or her. Oh, thank you, Peter. Great food, great service. Thanks. See you again. When the service is really good, you know, give them a tip, but don't give 20 cents, 10 cents. That's an insult. You know, always give a note, $5 note, $10 note. What is $10 now? You can't even get a prawn dumpling. Giving a tip is a gesture of showing your appreciation. It's not an insult. Try to have some conversation with the worker when the restaurant is not busy. You can start off with a conversation like, oh, very busy day today, huh? Well, you work very hard. I saw you running around. Oh, it's good to have an employee like you. If I have a restaurant, I'll employ you. You know, that's a good way to start a conversation. If it's a quiet night, what happened tonight? Where are all the people? Well, that's another way to start a conversation. If you can do the above, what I said before, and make a good impression, then give them a gospel tract in your next visit. If they know you and respect you, then they'll read it. If they don't respect you, they throw it in the bin. As a matter of fact, restaurant workers are very approachable. I make friends with many of them, you know. Last year, 8 of us from Restaurant Mission drove to Melbourne to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Melbourne Restaurant Ministry, which we went there to set up in 2007. On the way, we stopped at Goulburn and Albury. We went to the Chinese restaurant and have our meal as usual. They can be so friendly, they can talk to you nonstop. We spent about 1.5 hours in each of the restaurant, 20 minutes eating our food, and the rest of the time chatting with them. Of course, that's included many opportunities to tell them about Jesus Christ. Even in the Melbourne CBD, we found that the barista, is it those who make coffee? Am I right? Or I always mix up barista, and the waitstaff in the coffee shop. We could approach them just by doing the 6 simple steps I just told you. Like many Asians, Chinese restaurant workers have 2 most important things in their lives. They are, one is buying properties, right? There's nothing you can do to help them. The other one is the career and the future of their children, right? Can we do something about it? Yeah, run the tuition class in our church. No, you don't have to do that. I have something better to do. To my dear young audience here, because most of my young people from our church are in the English congregation. Your witness in restaurant is the utmost importance. When they see you say grace before the meal, they can identify that you are a Christian. If you show them good manner, if you eating out with your parents, you respect your parents, and you show good manners, they want their children to be like you and will bring them to church. If they want to bring their children to church, they have to go to church, right? Therefore, today I'm not calling you to join us for a short-term mission, though we have one coming up in July. Instead, I'm urging you to become a full-time missionary, representing Jesus anytime, anywhere, in your home, in your workplace, and in restaurants. And when you buy your morning coffees, show them a good neighbor nature. Let the people see Jesus in us. As Christians, we do not have breaks of not being a Christian. Since we are saved by Christ and our whole life mission ultimately is to bring glory, honor, and be a witness to God, and to bring people from all walks of life to Him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share the work of Restaurant Mission and your words. We know that we sometimes can be very selective in choosing those who we want to love. We pray that your Holy Spirit would always remind us who we have neglected. Always remind us not to be arrogant. Teach us to be like Paul. Feel obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. Yes, dear Lord, sometimes we find difficulty in loving people who are different to us. Please empower us with the love of Jesus, since we are so unworthy and Jesus died for us. Dear Lord, please change us, humble us. Let the Holy Spirit remind us what would Jesus do in each situation, so that our whole life would bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.